All right, folks, this is Ramble Razzle, Rich Bergeron.
This is Tornado
10 Pet
Count.
And Psychic Tom Gadget, ready to go.
And nothing happened in the last 2 weeks because Psychic Tom was not around to predict it.
So that's right.
Nothing happened in the combat sports world at all. No, actually, quite a bit happened. It's like we're getting closer and closer to Floyd versus Connor. Blah, blah, blah. Nothing's inked yet. But we had a pretty interesting UFC event over last weekend. I did not see the fight. I saw brief highlights, but it's a good thing I did not get a chance to predict it last week, because I would have said Rumble would have avenged his loss. But Anthony Rumble Johnson, former guest of the Fight News Unlimited show way back when, lost his battle there with Cormier and officially, I guess, retired. So he's done. He's basically said that it has nothing to do with MMA, but he has moved on to another job. And have you guys seen the movie Breakfast Club?
Of course.
All right.
It's classic.
So, you know the scene where the bully guy is going after the wrestler for rolling around on the floor with other guys? Tight.
Yeah.
So, Rumble said basically, I'm tired of other guys punching me in the face and rolling around on the ground with other guys. So, I'm moving on.
What was the line in that? Like, oh, yeah, you're the one rolling around on the ground with other guys in tights. And the nerdy kid was like, you wear tights? He's like, I wear the required uniform.
Right.
Yeah, tights.
Yeah, Rumble has been around, done a lot of great things in the sport, done some different weights, and went out hard from what I saw. He really clocked Daniel a few times from what I saw in the highlights. And then, of course, we had a crazy co-main event.
You just have to wonder if his mind was made up before and he made a last-minute change of the strategy. I mean, if you've got the biggest punch in the MMA world, probably hits harder than most heavyweights, why in the world would you try to take down and out-wrestle an Olympic-level wrestler? It just doesn't make sense. I mean, that's that old Teddy Atlasism. Why would you fight the other guy's fight?
Right.
Why are you giving him the best chance to win? It just didn't make sense. I have no idea what happened. I mean, I don't want to get ahead of the other fights, too, because there's lots to say about it. But suffice to say, no one on the underground was happy about that entire card. But it was a shocker. I mean, and not that Cormier won, but just the way it happened. I'll never get to the point where I can say I've seen it all.
It reminds me of an old football game back in the day, where the one team who was, you know, they were a pass, heading team. They liked to pass. Well, but the thing is, they were running the ball so successfully. Every time they would run, especially over the right side, they were gaining 5, 6, 7 yards at a pop. They were blowing the other team off the ball because they had a big offensive line. The other team had a small defensive line. But the problem was they were a pass-heavy team. And they had poor wide receivers at the time who couldn't get open because the other team was jamming them, and they kept trying to throw. And here was the problem. They were getting intercepted. The receivers weren't getting open to catch the passes. The quarterback was getting sacked. And then they couldn't run the ball because you try to pass on first down, and now you're either second and 10, maybe second and 15, and then, or the other team had the ball. And they ended up losing the game. Why were you not doing what was working? Why were you taking away your advantage?
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense unless you're just so full of yourself that you feel, I'm so much better, I can beat these other guys at their game, not mine.
Yeah.
But it's just stupid, and especially at the highest levels. I mean, you're supposed to get that stuff out of your system when you're just beginning, or in the gym, or an amateur. not when you're at the big dance. This is nuts.
Yeah, I think another thing that people don't talk a lot about,
trying to get a good jabbing contest with Ali. We're fighting Joe Frazier on the inside when you're tall and lean.
Right. Or it would be like Ali trying to outbrawl Joe Frazier. That ain't happening.
Exactly. Imagine this, Tom. Ali trying to outbrawl Frazier and Frazier trying to dance around and have him sit on his head.
I just have a mental image of how ridiculous that would look. And you'd have to wonder, what the hell? I mean, that whole division, when you think about it, Rich, there's a lot of people in the division that may be happy about Rumble going because he's cleaned out the whole division. And there's not much demand for a rematch with any of the guys that he knocked out in the first minute. So now that he's gone, it's like, who's left? I mean, the only fight to make is John Jones.
Yeah.
And a lot of folks really aren't too enthused about seeing the rematch. They just the consensus is, what is Cormier going to do different?
Well, the thing a lot of people probably don't talk about either is that Daniel Cormier has such an advantage from being an employee of Fox News as well. Not only because he interacts with a lot of other different fighters, you know, in different gyms. They had a segment on, I think, UFC Tonight or whatever, one of their shows, where Kenny Florian and him went over some jiu-jitsu stuff at his own gym. Kenny Florian visited his gym, and they're partners on the show. So it's just one example of connections there, but also money. You know, Anthony Johnson is talking about going to a different job because fighting is obviously not paying the bills. Cormier can sit there with his belts and be on TV all the time, make money there, and he lives a very comfortable life without having to make all his money on the fight. So it's kind of a different dynamic that he sees than Anthony would see, and I think that's part of the reason why he's retiring and going to do something else. Probably will be more.
Yeah, and there were so many, there was so much speculation about what that something else was going to be. I mean, these guys were saying everything, but I heard something about football, strength and conditioning coach or something.
Maybe. Yeah. That'll be interesting to see where he goes. But how about that co-main event, huh? I just heard controversy, and I saw a clip of Gegard Mousasi. His classic quote after the fight saying, who gives a fuck? I won. I won the fight.
It's Tony, I don't know if you heard what happened in the co-main event, but to give you a football analogy, it would be like if a touchdown is 5 points at the Eagle Stadium and it's 7 points at the Giants Stadium, it's 8 points at the Steelers Stadium, and in Cleveland it's only 4 points. I mean, come on.
Yeah, supposedly there was a legal knee or something that ended the fight.
It was just one of those scenes out of The Stooges almost.
Supposedly they used replay, instant replay, to make the final decision.
Yeah.
And they just announced that it was the TKO. And Chris Weidman and his whole corner were outraged, and they still probably are. But Gegard Mousasi says he don't give a crap. He won the fight. Also had Cynthia Calvillo beating Pearl Gonzalez by a rear naked choke, just how Daniel Cormier took out Anthony Rumble Johnson. We had Thiago Alves got a unanimous decision over Patrick Cote. Charles Oliveira beat Will Brooks by rear naked choke. I guess that was the theme. First round there. 2 minutes and 30 seconds into that one. No big surprise. Miles Jury beat Mike De La Torre by TKO, elbow, and punches. Also in the first round. Just another minute more. 3 minutes, 30 seconds.
And looked very good.
Yeah, he always comes to fight. We also had Kamaru Usman beating Sean Strickland by unanimous decision. Shane Burgos beating Charles Rosa by TKO in 59 seconds in. Patrick Cummins got a win over Jan Blachowicz by majority decision. Gregor Gillespie beating Andrew Holbrook by knockout 21 seconds into round one. Punches there. Desmond Green beating Josh Emmett. Split decision there. Katlyn Chookagian beat Irene Aldana by split decision. Second fight of the night. And Magomed Bibulatov beat Janelle Lausa by unanimous decision in the first fight of the night there. Whew, that was a name crunch there.
You know, there was quite an undertone of concern about the fact that the...
breaking up.
I was watching it, said no one was even paying attention to it. It's almost like an obligatory thing. And the question is, does Dana White realize women's MMA kind of died with Ronda Rousey? She ain't coming back. She was the draw.
I think we lost about a minute of that, if you want to go back a little bit.
Well, there was just a lot of people upset. A lot of the guys on the underground very upset about this. Just how every pay-per-view card has to have a woman's event on it.
Yeah.
And the skill level of these girls was just absolutely pathetic. It's like the one guy was saying, it was like a couple of girls in their first kickboxing class. And the problem is they're taking away money and time from more deserving men fighters that we want to see. And the question was brought up, why doesn't Dana White realize women's MMA is dead? Ronda Rousey's gone. Women's MMA is irrelevant. Nobody cares. There's and someone said it's like you're watching an NBA game and all of a sudden you got a quarter of the women's NBA to watch right in the middle of an NBA game.
Whoa.
Now, there's a reason
Tom,
women's
we're gonna get
NBA
letters
is
from
on
women's
ESPN
groups now.
17 at 3 in the morning, you know? And there's it just was a nasty atmosphere about that whole card, about the officiating screw-up, about the main event ending the way it did, about the women being a permanent fixture on the main event, like Stones as well. Beer break, bathroom break, food break, but funny for that. And I'm telling you, I knew that this was being talked about before, but it really started to come to a head. And I guess there's no end of it in sight.
Well, there you go, Tom. Now we're going to have a bunch of women's groups sending me letters.
I didn't say I agree. I'm telling you, I'm reporting on the mood on the underground. That may not be a big percentage, though. That's the super hardcore. But this is what the hardcore guys are saying.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll take it from there.
Probably the worst women's match I saw was a Bellator card, but I didn't watch this one, so I can't really talk about it. I did get in a fight with a tree last week, though. And I can imagine it.
Heard the tree run.
It hit as about as hard as somebody could kick you. Oh my God! It's probably the worst split.
Well,
I've ever had.
How are you doing now? What do you look like?
Actually, I lucked out because I guess I got big lips because that took the entire blow. It was just my bottom lip corner.
Oh.
And I thought it actually might have cut into my chin area, but nope, just the lip. But it was a pretty decent sized hole. It just goes to show you how fast your lip can heal, though, because now it's just a little slit. And it's been a week.
That's the fighter's mentality.
Yeah.
It ain't nothing. I'll tell you,
it reminded me of my boxing days because I was rattled by it. I was definitely rattled by it. Seeing my own blood there for a minute and not knowing how bad it was kind of the worst part. And then I looked in the mirror and I'm like, oh my God, that's a split lip. But it stopped bleeding.
That's the one thing I said, you know, back in the day, you know, when I got my upper lip severed in half and they stopped the fight down in VMI, on a Saturday, told me to get stitches. I told the doctor to go fuck off. I was fighting the next week.
Stitches.
And I put salt in it that night when I got home. And nice. They didn't let me spar all week. I don't think they let me spar for the rest of the season, basically, because I was having many issues with my mouth being cut open, then I was cutting the weight and all that. But within 6 days, my lip was completely healed. Right. But from externally, you know, it looked healed. As soon as I got hit again, it split back open. But, you know, it was closed. And if I didn't get hit again, I would have been fine.
The good news is,
every week I was just getting split back open, and every week I was like, fuck it, let's keep going.
Yeah. The good news is, for me, I would not be in this position in a fight because I would have my hands up, and this position was hands down because I was sawing through a log. So I had my hands on my chainsaw, knocked the chainsaw right out of my hands, and it was so fast. Hit my helmet, and then it hit my face. I think I might have turned just in time, and that's what made it only get my lip. But yeah, that tree hit me hard, and it was the edge of it, I think, is what hit me, because that's why it was so fast. It was like a catapult being released. The sapling that was bent so far underneath the other tree that it had so much tension. It just whiplashed me, basically. And it was so crazy because I was almost passed out from just the shock of it afterwards. You know, it wasn't like hurt bad. I knew, I saw what the damage was, and then I sat on the front porch, and then I was just taking deep breaths, and then 10 minutes later, I'm out back working again. It was like a switch flipped. Boom! But yeah. I can imagine that's about as hard as the hardest kick you can take in a fight. I don't know. I don't know if that's good or bad for my MMA career hopes. But yeah. Your lip is a very mysterious thing, the way it heals. It's not like the regular skin. It's a very quick process.
Well, I remember Dr. Cox even saying, you know, when we were in college, and it was funny because it was only about a month before I got my lip split in half, and then he ended up using this as an example later. We had another kid on our team who took a pretty good shot in the mouth and got split open, and, you know, he went that night, got stitches in his mouth. That's kind of saying, stitches in your lip. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. Right. He's like, it's like a soft skin. It's like, how do you stitch a lip? Pointless. Now, I'm going to give you an example. If you go back to the last fight of his career, Arturo Gatti, when he fought Alfonso Gomez, the cut he got actually went more into the skin. It was a vertical cut, not a horizontal. And it went up, you know, like to almost where his nose was. Yeah, that's something you get stitched. But he's like, you stitch a lip. How do you stitch a lip? You know? And then later he's like, this is a docism right now. Like, he's like, I'm just gonna give you an example of two guys on our team. We got Pentacal and we got so and so. He goes, the one guy gets hit in the mouth, doctor says gets stitches, and he runs out and he's pretty much out for weeks. He got the other guy, says, hell no, I'm fighting next week. He goes, that's the mentality we want. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. It wasn't a lot of blood, that's for sure. That's what made me really think it was good. It was all right. But man, what the? It was like, whoa, that was a shock. It was crazy. But anyway, let that be a lesson to you. Watch out for bent saplings under trees you're cutting in the woods, folks. Because this is a logging show, right? No. Anyway, we got fights to talk about. We got upcoming mixed martial arts stuff. But big news in boxing, Andre Ward versus Sergey Kovalev has been signed for the rematch. Yeah, I believe so. Nothing much on the undercard yet, but I'm sure that'll be coming.
Really, a lot of bad blood there. A lot of bad blood.
Yeah.
Kovalev says he doesn't just want to win. He wants to end Ward's career.
Whoa! Whoop. Good thing you didn't say that in the UK. They would be having him under investigation. End his career. Uh-oh. Got some Friday night fights tomorrow on Showtime. Waits Samuel Clarkson and Dmitry Bivol. About all this stuff on my website there, FightNewsUnlimited.com. It's in 19-3. It's for the interim WBA World Light Heavyweight title. A couple other light heavyweights in action as well. Tenille Goico, 9-9-1. Fighting Travis Reeves, who's 13-2-2. By the way, today is Thursday the 13th. Isn't that a crazy day? Thursday the 13th. No, Friday the 13th. Thursday.
Yeah, listen. Tomorrow is a big day for me at Lock Haven. It's a 414 day.
Oh, yeah?
That was my house number when I was in school, which when I had my last fight there against your boy Jordan, all my friends had big time. Instead of Austin 316, it said Tony 414. Nice. So, tomorrow's a big day.
By the way, I think we ended our last show by me claiming that there's a report about Steve Austin being dead of a heart attack.
Which
not true.
He came out to be a bullshit hoax.
Yeah. Drama. I created a rumor. No, somebody else did, but I just perpetuated it for a second. Big fight over in the UK on Saturday. Ricky Burns, 41-5-1, fighting Julius Ndongo, who is 21-0 at super lightweight. Three titles on the line there: IBF World Super Lightweight title, International Boxing Organization World Super Lightweight title, and the WBA World Super Lightweight title. And we got some BBB of C titles on the line as well. Lightweight Scott Cardle, 21-0-1, fighting Robbie Barrett, who's 14-2-1. Super Flyweight Charlie Edwards, 9-1, fighting Ian Butcher. How about that for a boxing name? Butcher. 16-2. And Charlie Flynn fighting Ryan Collins. Flynn is 8-0. Collins is 13-2. Even got a guy named Joe Hamm on this card. Joe Hamm.
But he's a real fucker.
Hey, man, you seen Joe Hamm? And Tony, you get to discuss wrestling this week because there was a big development in wrestling, I believe, involving the Undertaker.
Uh-oh.
Undertaker?
What?
Something happened with the Undertaker, I believe?
Yeah, he's hanging up the boots. Hanging up the urn, I guess. We had our traditional party, our WrestleMania party, and, the way they put him on the last match, and the consensus was you kind of knew he was going out. He was, as they say in wrestling terms, doing the job. He was favors, losing on the way out, trying to help elevate another guy. He had the match with Roman Reigns, and there was fear going into it that they were going to try to keep it a real short match because Undertaker was, he had hip surgery within the last year, and he was really having a hard time getting around. And I think he needs a total hip replacement. Figure the guy's been WWE for 25 years. No, more than that now. Shit, it's going to be 27 years in November. That's just WWE. And he was a good 5 years before that. So 30 years as a professional. He's 52 years old. And you could say, you could tell there were some times that he was hobbling in there. And the ramp to the entranceway to the ring was longer than normal. So the way they set it up was he actually came up through the ramp. So he had to walk about a quarter of it. And, he did the loss, and then it was over. It was like he was laying there, and the lights went out when they came back on. He sat up first, and the lights went out. When they came back on, he had his hat and his jacket back on. And he stood there in like a bluish color light and took his gloves off, his MMA style gloves, laid them in the center of the ring. He took his jacket off, folded it, and took his hat off, put the hat on top. And then he, walked out of there real slow, walked up about a quarter of the ramp, raised his hand up, and he actually descended through the ramp, which was really, really an awesome the way.
Interesting. And I heard he's going to be a security guard at your basement gym now.
You lost a part of your childhood with that. All of us grew up with the guy. Saturdays.
Yeah, I can remember watching them when I was a kid, when I was watching wrestling a lot. Yeah, that's a long, long career. Three decades, pretty much.
Yeah.
A long time in the biz. And, of course, under many different names, not just the Undertaker. So, we'll see. See how he does in retirement. I'm sure he's going to be signing a lot of freaking autographs.
Yeah, sure.
He's going to go to the Mike Tyson School of Autograph events. It's time to collect the big money. Anyway. Former guest of ours fighting in West Virginia on Saturday, Bobby Gunn, 21-7-1 at cruiserweight, still boxing. Fighting James Morrow, who is 12-21-3. Yeah, he just lost to Roy Jones Jr. But still fighting down in West Virginia. Lackluster opponent there, though. You should have no problem with that guy. Down in Uncasville, Connecticut on HBO on Saturday. HBO Latino. We got light heavyweight Sullivan Barrera, 18-1, fighting Paul Parker, who's 8-1. That's a big fight on that card. No title on the line there. There's a fight card in Accra, Ghana on Sunday. Every single opponent is TBA. Every single one. You're the main event. Patrick Alotti, 35-3, fighting TBA. Fights on Sunday.
Someone's got to start up at the last minute. Very impressive record to go against.
Can you make it to super welterweight, Tony? I need to fly you to Ghana. Accra, Ghana. A couple pounds, you'll be all set. Alright, yeah, that's pretty much everything until next week. Any other big boxing news that you know of, Tony?
Well, we had some fights on TV last week. The Ukraine really dominated.
Ukraine? Really?
Yeah. Triple header. Main event was Vasily Lomachenko, and fought a kid from Camden that I've got in person by the name of Sosa. Sosa's a tough, tough, tough kid. Right now, Lomachenko's another planet. And what Max Kellerman said early in the fight card was Lomachenko, okay, it's hard to keep track of his personal amateur career. But the guy's reportedly 396-1.
What?
The hell is that one?
Right.
And yeah, probably he lost the second fight to Orlando Salido. Salido, a tough veteran, hard-nosed guy. He's a rough and tough type of guy. So what? And a lot in this fight was, when Salido only making the second fight. So basically, you're graduating from like 3 rounds to 12 rounds. That's a big difference. And he was getting a little bit flustered, a little bit confused with Alito's dirty tactics. Hitting him low, using his head, things like that. Holding him, holding him. And he just took him out of his game. And I'm surprised the rematch never materialized out of that. Because right now, Lomachenko really is on another planet.
Yeah, I mean, I remember seeing him being like 3-0 fighting guys with huge records and going, what the hell is going on with this guy? And then I heard his backstory.
Well, he's basically fighting for titles, but they do.
Yeah. Unbelievable stuff, yeah. We also have a story here about Kelvin Gastelum is in the news at UFC Fight Night 106 down in Brazil. He beat the ever-living shit out of Mr. Vitor Belfort. He's been around the sport forever, pretty much. And now they revealed last Thursday that Gastelum tested positive for the marijuana metabolite carboxy tetrahydrocannabinol, THC. during an in-competition drug screening, meaning the day of the fight, I believe. So, wow, big stuff. And I guess that's proof that THC is a performance-enhancing drug. He won the fight. Usually these guys that are on drugs lose the fight, so it's funny. THC, who knew? It's a performance-enhancing drug.
So is this going to be a no contest?
Well, it's not clear yet. It says USADA will handle the results management. I don't know what that means, you know, testing results or results of the fight. Or, but the Brazilian commission would be responsible for making it a no contest if they did. So I don't know. Anti-doping violation. But maybe that explains how he was so good at going back and forth from Portuguese to English in the post-fight interview. It was kind of funny because he was right back and forth. Unbelievable. Yeah, it was 3:52 into the first round, 3 minutes and 52 seconds. So, did he do it before he got to the arena, or did he do it in the arena? That's the next question. You got some good Brazilian stuff from somebody. Anyway. Speaking of UFC, on Fox 24 is coming up. UFC on Fox 24. And it's Demetrius Johnson versus Wilson Heiss. And is anybody going to be able to beat Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson? Doubt it. What do you think, Tom?
No. You know, the Road to Octagon really knows how to hype fights. They really make it seem like this is going to be anyone's fight. But we've been down this road and down this road. I'm not saying Johnson's going to last forever, but until he shows some chinks in the armor, it's just... I guess you can either not watch him because of the preordained outcome, or watch him to appreciate his artistry. Like Floyd Mayweather had a ton of fans that just loved to see his technique, his athleticism, his incredible reflexes. So, I mean, you can't find any holes in Johnson's game at all that I can see. So, may not be that exciting of a main event. But they know how to make it seem very competitive.
Johnson did lose twice in his career, but no time recently. He's 25-2-1. Wilson comes in 22-6, and it's just the latest of a long line of contenders, and we'll see if he has anything special that nobody else brought.
I don't think Johnson has lost at flyweight. Remember, that's a kind of recent division.
I guess he lost to Dominic Cruz,
but I would guess that would be 135, I would assume.
I believe if he wins this one, Demetrius owns the record or ties the record with Anderson Silva for most consecutive title defenses.
Right, he's going to tie it. And that's why he said he really has no intention of moving up to lightweight, bantamweight, 135, until he breaks Anderson's record. And then there's talk about another Dominic Cruz fight, but I guess right now, you know, and Johnson said the right thing. He's only focused on this upcoming fight. Yeah.
Wow. We also have the karate hottie. She's known as Michelle Watterson, 14-4, fighting Rose Namajunas, who is 5-3. And these two girls, unlike the people that your buddies on the underground were talking about, Tom, these girls are proven warriors in the cage. And Michelle pretty much dismantled Paige VanZant, I believe, in her last fight, so. Very impressive stuff, and Rose has been just evolving more and more ever since her appearance on the Ultimate Fighter show. So,
yeah, Michelle's very, very well rounded, so I've got to go with her.
Yeah, this is going to be a war, though. I don't know. Could be a split decision.
Yeah.
But Michelle is very crisp. She's got great striking. So if it's going to be a knockout early, it's going to be her. We also have a very interesting Coco main event, I guess you could call it. So Ronaldo Souza, 24-4, fighting Robert Whittaker, who is 17-4.
Well, talk about a clash of styles.
Good boys. Light heavyweight? Is that light heavyweight or middleweight?
Middleweight.
And if that's not enough action there, we've got Jeremy Stevens fighting Renato Carneiro. Carneiro undefeated at 10-0-1. Jeremy Stevens has been around the block and back a few times. He is 25-13. And this is Tony's idol in MMA, Roy Nelson. 22-13. Hey, he trains with Jeff Mayweather, boxing. Anyway, Roy is fighting Alexander Volkov. Talk about a professional wrestling name. 27-6 is Volkov. They keep throwing Roy right to the lions. He is 22-13. He's rocking the Kimbo beard in a Sure Dog picture. We'll see if he brings that to his next fight. That's a pretty big one. This card already sounds better than last week's card. Don't you think, Tom? This is on Fox.
Yeah.
Free TV. I'd be pissed if I had paid money for that last week's. I mean, the main event I'm hearing was good, but with that controversy, TKO, not a lot of other big names on that card like this card. It's just, wow. Makes you wonder. How do they do this? Tom Duquesnoy, 14-1, is also on the card fighting Patrick Williams, who's 8-4. Bobby Green back in action. He is 23-7, fighting Rashid Magomedov, who is 19-2. Tim Elliott fighting Luis Smolka. Elliott is 13-7-1. Smolka is 11-3. And we got Aljamain Sterling, 12-2, fighting Augusto Mendez, who is 6-1. Also on the card, 7-1, fighting Jake Collier, who is 10-3. Third fight of the night, Anthony Smith, 26-12, fighting Andrew Sanchez, who's 9-2. We got Zach Cummings, 20-5, fighting Nathan Coy, who's 15-6. And first fight of the night, Ketlin Vieira, 7-0, fighting Ashley Evans Smith, who is 5-1. Let's see, we also had we had some Bellator fights coming up, but we had another Bellator fight we needed to talk about from the show we missed last week. Rampage Jackson, his little fight against King Mo. Did you watch that fight, Tom? That's one fight I did see.
Yes, and it reminds me of an axiom that one of our former guests, and I sure wish I could have remembered his name, but I think he was a junior welterweight boxer, and we were talking about weight divisions, and I know I use this quote a lot, but it's just so apropos that it was something, the essence of what he said was, when your body is not at the weight you're meant to be, you're really going to have problems, or something along those lines. If there was ever an example of that, someone whose fighting weight is 205 should not come in at 253. That just shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
I don't know if he thought he was going to have more power, but all that weight does is slow you down.
Right.
And we've seen it before.
And the other thing is, it was cardio-wise, he just did not seem like he had enough left in the tank to really push that fight anywhere he wanted it. So King Mo basically got a walk-away win by just doing enough. You know, I mean, obviously it took a lot more energy out of him to throw a Rampage around, don't get me wrong, but you have to wonder, like, did he really have to work that hard to get this win this time? Is Rampage really that far gone? A lot easier this time, and unanimous. news there is now Ryan Bader is not only out of the UFC into Bellator, but he is going to be facing the Holder Wall next. So, interesting stuff there. So, anyway. King Mo beating Quentin Rampage Jackson by unanimous decision. We haven't had any news from Jackson as to whether he's officially retiring. Back to the UFC or not, I don't know. He's officially...
Well, I mean, my money would say his heart's just not in this.
No.
And I know you mentioned a few weeks ago on the show how he was having second thoughts about his whole career. Right. And as Dana was saying, about if you even start to talk about retirement, you better just do it.
Yeah.
If your heart's not 100% committed to fighting, it's the wrong thing to be in.
Exactly, sir.
And for Rampage to compete again, he'd have to, based on what we've seen, he'd have to get down to 205. And from 253, not an easy assignment.
Right.
So I'd have to think he's finished.
That's your prediction. There it is, folks. Bet on it. Go down to Vegas. Find a line on whether Rampage retires or not. Bet on it.
Yep.
Tom just said it was going to happen.
Yeah.
All right. So, anyway, we also had Emmanuel Sanchez beating Marcus Galvo. That was a barn burner unanimous decision there for Sanchez. Pretty good back and forth bout there. But my favorite fight of the night was Sergey Kharitonov putting the lights out for Chase Gormley. And what a brutal uppercut. Downtown. Sergey just, both of them were just rock 'em sock 'em robots back and forth for like the first 3 minutes, and then Sergey just closed in on Chase against the cage and unloaded this uppercut from hell. And the replay was the only thing that gave justice because you couldn't really see how bad it was in real speed.
That was very ugly. And did you notice that Chase was. When they announced the winner, I guess he couldn't even stand up to shake hands about it.
Yeah, that's...
I didn't hear anything bad, but that's the kind of brutal knockout that you really hope someone's okay.
Yeah, that's where your brain slaps so hard against your side of your skull that your light switch goes out. So, the more violent it is, I think the longer it takes to recover from. Wow, Tony would, I think, appreciate seeing this knockout. If you want to look this up, or if I find a link to it, I can send you the highlights. You'll enjoy this, even as a boxing purist. This is a hell of an uppercut.
You know, Gormley was not doing too bad.
No, he
until
was
that happened.
Hanging tough. And the Kharitonov was so casual. I mean, it kind of reminded me a little bit of the Fedor style of, you know, stick your chin out there and just... But getting hit because you're going to hit the guy harder eventually. So, yeah, it was very entertaining for as short as it was. Also had Noah Lahat beating Lloyd Carter by technical submission from a rear naked choke in the second round. Steve Cazola beating Jake Not the Snake Roberts by TKO punches in round one. 28 seconds in, Jake. Jake Roberts did not do so well there. Poor Jake. Joaquin Buckley also winning against Justin Patterson by unanimous decision. Tim Cho beat Joshua Dustin Hardwick by TKO from punches in the third round. Manny Vasquez beat Nate Williams by unanimous decision. James Buknovich beat Matthew Paul by rear naked choke in the first round. And Damian Norris beat Tom Schoaf by unanimous decision. In the second fight and in the first fight, Mike De La Viega beat Brian Aikens by a split decision there. And the big Bellator event this week is Eduardo Dantas versus Leandro Higo. And I believe Higo is a replacement for somebody. I just don't have it right in front of me. But Dantas comes in 19-4. Higo is 17-2. This one is coming from Budapest, Hungary. I believe there's a kickboxing element to it as well. We've got Lina Ovchinnikova versus Helen Harper of Ovchinnikova. Say that 10 times fast. She is 11-4. Harper is 4-1. And we've got Adam Borix, 5-0, fighting Anthony Taylor, who's 1-2. So I believe that's just the MMA part of it. There's also a kickboxing part of it. But the, if you want the whole full details, go to our website, fightnewsunlimited.com. We've been posting stuff all week on that. So I know that there's a kickboxing part of that, too. That's pretty much it for big stuff that I know of in the news this week. You guys got anything else?
I'm trying to think. Well, first of all, before I forget, what do you guys think of my picture from last week? My pictures.
Yeah, like I said, we're 1 degree away from Pauly now. Well, yeah. 2 degrees. You're 1 degree. Now it's 2 degrees of separation from Pauly. How about that?
Yeah, it was funny because the original store, and I didn't know this was going to happen until literally the day before. The original store, and I'm going to hit you guys with some trivia, some boxing trivia in a minute, some legitimate boxing trivia regarding this store. About a year or so ago, there's the closest mall to me is the Montgomery Mall, which is on Route 309 above Philadelphia. And that's where I go most of the time. And they had a couple sports stores in there. The one was a sports memorabilia store, which had like a lot of autograph stuff, autograph photos, autograph jerseys, things of that nature. So a lot of times they'll arrange autograph signings there. I know a few, I guess 6-7 months ago, they had a autograph big event there, and I know Danny Garcia was there, Eddie Alvarez was there, and somebody that was a former, was Eagles player, Wilbur Montgomery was there. I was at the mall that day, but I wasn't standing in line, and so I just kind of walked by. It was a ton of a crowd that day. So this store apparently lost its lease within the last few weeks, because this autograph signing was supposed to be at the mall real close to me, and it moved to another mall a little bit further. Not that much further, but a little bit further. And so on Friday, I'm headed down to the Phillies game, and a friend of mine texts me and messaged saying, "Hey, there's this autograph signing tomorrow." Well, I totally forget about it. Next morning, I get up, because me being on the news the day before at the game with my costume on, and I did like 2 interviews, I did a bunch of photos, so my Facebook is all blown up, and I'm scrolling through all the messages, and I see one from my friend Randy. I said, "Oh shit, what did he send me yesterday?" "Oh shit, Burt Young's going to be at the Plymouth Meeting Mall." I said, "Fuck it, I'm going to go." So I go on Facebook, I said, "Go to see Burt Young today. Should I wear the Phillies Apollo Creed outfit?" And everybody goes, "Is that even a question?" "Of course you have to wear it." I said, "All right." So, go throw the outfit on, drive down to the mall. Now, I'm walking through the mall dressed like this. And I think, because you guys know me, I totally don't care. I'm walking through the mall dressed like this. And I had pre-paid for mine. And I'm not an autograph guy. I'm a photo guy. So go there, I get up to meet him, get a photo with him, and I said, "Like the cape?" He's like, "I love the cape." I'm like, "Yes, Burt Young likes my cape." I'm like, "How awesome is that?" But hey, really nice guy, really cool. I didn't have a whole lot of time to talk to him, but from the time I did, being very nice, very personable, he was a pleasure to talk to. And then as I'm leaving, I go to the one store because they have, you guys see like those infomercials, like stuff you can buy, Flex Seal, Flex Tape, buy this, buy that, all the stuff you see on TV. They had this drink mixer out there. It's, not great quality. You can't do anything solid in it, but if you have the
protein shakes with just powder and stuff. This is what it's for. It's called the tornado mixer. Because when you activate it, the motion of it actually looks like a tornado.
Nice.
I knew they had one there, and I'm dressed in my tornado outfit with the word tornado on me. So I figured I had to go buy one. So I'm in the store buying this item. I'm talking to the saleswoman, and she's like, would you mind going over here and getting a picture with the Easter Bunny? Sure. Why not? Absolutely. And then I'm in the store. I'm high-fiving the Lego man. I should have got a photo with him, but there was too many kids in the way. I'm like, come on, kids, got it. It's my turn with the Lego man. but, you know, a lot of fun. It really was a lot of fun. Now, I go to the game on Friday, the day before this happens. And, you know, the weather wasn't exactly warm last week. And they're asking me at work the day before, they're like, yo, what are you going to wear to the game? I said, it's a Phillies game, isn't it? Yeah. I said, I'm wearing my outfit. They're like, yeah, but aren't you going to wear something like underneath, like a long sleeve shirt? I said, no, because my outfit does not wear a long sleeve shirt. My outfit is a sleeveless shirt, shorts, knee high socks, high top sneakers, the hat, and the cape, and other accessories like my earring and my necklace and all that other wristbands and all that other bullshit. But I said, the outfit doesn't wear, you know, a long sleeve. I said, you know, you don't conceal the guns, I could get arrested. And they're like, well, what if it's a red, white, and blue long sleeve or an Under Armour? I said, I guess you didn't hear me the first time. My outfit does not wear a long sleeve. Now, I took my dad to the game, you know, bought him tickets. We were down there, bumped into a guy that is an usher down at the stadium in Clearwater that knows me. So, both my dad and I, we had different methods of keeping warm. They both start with the letters J-A-C-K. His ended with E-T, as in a big hunting jacket. Uh-huh. Mine ended with Daniels. Tennessee.
I knew that was alcohol related.
Between innings, I was sneaking over to the stadium bar and doing shots of Tennessee Honey Jack.
Yeah, it's tougher to do now, but I used to wear something with cargo pockets and sneak at 10% alcohol in the King cans. Yeah, that was good stuff. Yeah, games are getting more and more interesting, too. I just, we got this thing called Sox and Two up here. It's like the replay of the game. And I tuned in to watch my first game the other night thinking it was live, and then I realized it was Sox and Two, and the other team was up, so that means they score. Every inning they show, somebody scores. So I'm like, oh no, just tuned in and they're going to lose the game. So hopefully they start doing better, but they're not doing so good, the Red Sox. That's funny though. Hey, guys.
We got the guy from Lexter, Clay Buchholz. He's probably going to be out for the season already.
Really? Uh-oh.
Yeah. He was doing terrible in the spring. I wasn't a big fan. And he basically, in his second start, already giving up three runs before he got an out. And then he got hurt in like the third inning after he gave up like six runs. And they said he has a partial tear and a flexor tendon or something, and he's probably out.
Yikes. Well, who knows? Baseball is a crazy sport. You don't see Psychic Tom trying to predict baseball, do you?
No. Like I told you, I even got talked into watching one of the World Series games last year, and I had never seen anything that disgraceful in any professional sport in my life. When half of the stadium was cheering for the visiting team. That has never happened. Ever. It would never happen in Boston. It would never happen in Philly. It would never happen anywhere but here.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know, this is why I don't watch this stuff. I can't understand how that ever could have happened. But it was, of the history of pathetic Cleveland sports, of the horrible history, that was a low point. So, have no interest in baseball. And now the big controversy is about Chief Wahoo. That's all over the news. And you got to wonder where that's going to go.
Yeah. Do you know what the average pay for a Major League Baseball player is now?
Average. So that would be tough because you got those mega superstars.
Mr. Taxman, come on. Yeah, take a guess.
Yeah, I'm thinking of mean and median and all that stuff. But I would have to say we're right around seven figures. Am I right?
$4.47 million is the average.
Wow. But then, remember, you have those mega stars that have to distort the thing.
Oh, yeah.
So I would guess the average guy has to get by at about $2 million a year if they can do that.
Outrageous, so. Which is why I think you're going to see a lot of fighters start to talk more union in recent weeks here, days and months. So we'll see. But other sports just have so much more wealth spreading and, you know, different franchising. And, you know, here you got UFC. This whole Mayweather thing, this is going to be a big deal if they allow it to happen, because it's going to be a big change for the UFC. Also, I sent you something, Tom, about Bellator partnering. Well, they're already partnered with Monster.
Yeah,
but now they're partnering with NASCAR. Fights at the races.
Yeah, I don't know what to think of that. If they think all of a sudden there's going to be a lot of MMA fans, that new fans, but, you know, every tax season, I mean, I just had two clients tonight, and, you know, when they come down to my home office, there's all kinds of fight stuff on the wall, and so I was asking him if he followed mixed martial arts, because, you know, we do have the heavyweight champ that lives here in the area, and he really didn't have a clue what I was talking about. So, I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm kind of out of the loop. But maybe it's an idea. I don't know. I just can't picture anyone who is going to go to a stock car race and all of a sudden, hey, well, I like that stuff too. But maybe there'll be some crossover. Who knows?
Yeah, I like the idea of, you know, crossing over with those two sports, but I mean, I sent you the video, too, of the top, whatever, actual fights in racing. But this is going to be Bellator events, mixed martial arts events at the races, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this idea has been tried. Well, Bellator is doing it with kickboxing, and I'd like to see more of it with boxing. So we'll see how it goes with racing. I mean, I guess in one sense, they're both extreme sports. They're both individual sports. So, see what happens.
Let's hope it doesn't lead to more fights in the stands, huh? Well, but I actually, I don't watch NASCAR a lot, but I actually did watch the Daytona 500 this year, pretty much almost the whole way through, which is like a record for me, because I'm not that kind of guy that just sits there and watches race cars go around in a circle. But this year, the rules are completely different than they have been in years past with, you know, whether you can return to a race or not after a certain amount of damage and, you know, at least finish it. So a lot of people did not finish that race because of all the wrecks, but it's just interesting to see. I mean, Danica Patrick was kicking ass, and then she wrecked. I think she was in, like, second place at one point, or maybe even leading, but, yeah, it was just a crazy race. And Monster has been stepping up as a big sponsor of Monster Energy Drink of the NASCAR now. So that's pretty much the whole reason behind the partnership with the fights now. But a lot of people, because of these new rules with the cars not being able to come back after a certain type of damage and, you know, the stages now. They've had, this first year they've had stages where you win a certain every stage. You know, you don't have to win the whole race. You can win like two stages and still get points towards the championship. So there's all sorts of dynamics that are making people say, well, fuck this. I like the old NASCAR. I'm not dealing with it anymore. So maybe this is their way to try to bring other people into it that wouldn't normally be into it.
Yeah, some of the hardcore fans, I mean, I had a buddy that was a big hardcore fan, and for some reason, I guess he was still fighting World War II, and he didn't like the Japanese cars. So he got fed up with watching the big stuff, and I'm trying to think, you know, 1945 was quite a while ago.
Yeah. But, I used to work with a guy who didn't like the Toyotas. Because he used to say, the fucking Japanese with their small hands, they put shit too tight in here. I can't get to it. You'd have to do, like, wiring for a truck cap or something and flip out on the Japanese trucks. That was funny. Not for the World War II reason. All right, well, I think that about does it for us here. Unless you guys got anything else to add, I'm going to call it a show.
Pretty much off of the tornado.
Alright, guys. We'll
hey,
do
yeah.
it up next week.
Hey, tornado, leave the Midwest alone, alright? You know, give them some
good weather. I promise.
Gotta stop tearing shit up, alright?
Yeah, I know.
Leave those mobile homes alone.
Yeah. Alright, guys. See you next week, and we'll enjoy the fights this weekend.
Yes, sir.
Alright. Peace, baby.